Freedom is so very wonderful. Amen? If you have never been bound, you don't know what it is to be free, but I don't know anybody that's never been bound. Because when we didn't know the Lord Jesus, we were bound by sin. We were enslaved by the world and its greed, by our own selfish, instinctive ways. But when we came to Jesus, weary, worn, and sad, he set us free. Praise God. The Lord is good. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians. I'm going to read a few verses of Scripture. Before we do that, we're going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we invite your presence to continue with us. We thank you for the beautiful songs that we've been singing about your goodness, your mercy, and your grace towards us. And we thank you that your grace has saved us. Your love has reached us and it overwhelms us. And we receive that love and that mercy and that grace today in our lives. And we ask you to help us to walk boldly in it and to trust you like we've never trusted you before. Pray for all that need you here today and elsewhere, and that the body of Christ today may see you like we've never seen you before, and that we may make the decision to receive you like we've never received you before, so that we are whole and strong and bold to walk in the light that you've given us. Thank you for this opportunity today, Father. We pray that you would speak to our hearts and let our hearts hear what the Spirit says to us today as a church body. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen and amen. If you have your Bible, I'm going to read a verse in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6, everybody knows this verse. It says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. This is an exhortation by the Apostle Paul to the Ephesian church, and he's saying, be strong. And that passes right on through down to us today, and the word to you and to me today is be strong. Be strong in the Lord. And we'll go back to that verse again in a little bit, but I just want to go over to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3. And I want to look at verse 16. Can we just like read from verse 14? Because you almost need to bring the fact that he's praying here. For this cause, Paul said, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Paul is praying for the church, he's praying for you and me, and he's asking that we would be strengthened by the Holy Spirit in our inner man, on the inside of us. He, a little later on in this same book, in Ephesians 6, we read it a minute ago, he said to the Ephesians, he said, be strong. An exhortation to be strong. How do you be strong if you're weak? I mean, I don't know about you, but I've had some instances physically where I've been almost too weak to stand up any longer. I mean, anybody ever had any feelings like that sometimes? Now, if you're physically too weak to stand, and somebody walks to you and says, be strong. How do I be strong? I'm weak. But when we bring God into the equation, it changes everything. Everybody say, God changes everything. So even in our weakness, strength comes when we decide to obey the Word of God. So being strong is something you can decide to do. I can decide to be strong. That's why the Apostle Paul could tell the Ephesians and say this very boldly to them, be strong in the Lord. Not in yourself, because there ain't no strength in yourself. Jesus said in John 15 and 5, he said, without me, you can do nothing. So there is no strength in us of ourselves that we can put dependence or trust in. So he said, be strong in the Lord. And this morning, I want to encourage you to make a decision to be strong in the Lord. And we have Paul's prayer for us today, and I believe it comes right on down through us, like I said, about the command and the exhortation to be strong, that we be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. Now, whether you're a man or a woman, you've got an inner man. Your inner man is your spirit man. You are a spirit, you have a soul, and you live in this physical body. This thing that you live in is only here because you can't live in the earth and be effective in the earth unless you got a body. I mean, we could all come here to the church this morning and not bring our bodies. And we could dance and shout and clap and everything else, and unless somebody got insight into the spirit realm, nobody knew anything was happening. So, you know, next time you say, well, you know, I'm not going to church, but I'll be there in spirit. That's a nice thought. But if you really want to make an impact and you want to bless somebody, you need to bring your body. Is that the truth? Because there's something about this physical body that God gave you. He said, I'm going to come on the inside of it and I'm going to live there. It'll be my temple, my dwelling place. So you need the physical body, but you need strength to come on the inside of it in your spirit so that your physical body can be a blessing wherever you go. And every one of us desires that we can be a blessing to each other. We want to be a blessing to the kingdom of God. So Paul is praying here in verse 16 of chapter 3. He said that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man. I have the prayer. I have the command. I plan to be strong. Now, I could spend some time here. I'm not going to do it extensively, but how do you become strong? Because Paul said, be strong in the Lord. And the only way we can get to know the Lord is through his Word. The Word has to get on the inside of me. And the Word is so vitally important to our walk. You know, you have an adversary. Paul said, our adversary, the devil, is roaming around like a roaming lion, seeking whom he may devour. Is that the truth? So he made it clear. He said, your adversary, the devil. So we have an adversary. We have to resist him. Jesus dealt with the adversary, the same adversary, in Matthew chapter 4. Now, when he dealt with the devil, and I always like to remind people of this, he didn't say, now I'm the Son of God, so therefore you don't stand a chance. He didn't say that, did he? He didn't say, I've been living on this earth for 30 years, and I've done nothing wrong, so therefore, you don't have a chance, Mr. Devil. He didn't do that either, did he? He didn't use any of these things that he could have when it comes to his perfection and his position. But he said to the devil, it is written. And if he needed the word to overcome and to be strong against his adversary, where do you think that leaves us? If I'm going to be strong and my Bible sits on my shelf all week, it's not going to work. If I want to be strong and I don't bother to listen to preaching or teaching from the Word of God, it's not going to work. When God's Word says, be strong in the Lord, we need to find the Word and use whatever venue and whatever avenue is available to us to get that Word on the inside of us so that we can be strong. Hell will try to stop you. The devil will try to shut you down. But God's Word is, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The prayer that comes from the Scriptures for the church is that you be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. And a lot of believers are spending so much time on the outer man, they don't even know they've got an inner man. You are actually the inner man. And as I began to say a few minutes ago, this guy on the outside, he's your earth suit. God made this body so you could exist here and be identified. And like I was saying a few minutes ago, we all came in spirit without our bodies. We'd be trying, now I wonder where Pastor Steve is. Let me see. God, would you give me a vision of Pastor Steve? Because he's in his spirit, he doesn't have his body, and I don't know where he is. And it could apply for every one of us here. But you brought your bodies. And God has created us all so different, yet so much alike. It's phenomenal. And this body is special. But this body could be your enemy. The devil will use every tool he can to shut this thing down. And we've been attacked physically. Last week I went through a few days when I had a sore throat and a cold. And I thought, God have mercy. But I got over it. I'm still a little fuzzy, but I'm here and I'm still talking about something good and singing about something good, and that's good enough with me. But you know, the devil will try to shut you down. He'll try to use your body against you. And if you allow the flesh to be dominant, you will lose the battle. He said, be strong in the Lord. Be strengthened with might in your spirit man. And then the body, whatever happens in your physical body, you will not lose the victory if you are strong in your spirit. Everybody say this with me. I want to be strong in my spirit. I will be strong in my spirit. Excuse me. Now, look at this here. I like this portion of Scripture. Just look at it if you've got your Bibles. And if you don't have your Bibles, they might put it on the screen. I don't know. It happens home sometimes. Miraculously. I don't know. That He would grant you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That. Isn't that an interesting word? It joins these two statements together. I think they call it a conjunction. That Christ may dwell in your hearts. Now, it seems to me that without being strong in your spirit, Christ cannot dwell on the inside of you. And the stronger you are in your spirit, the more of His presence will be on the inside of you. We sing about Jesus living in us, Jesus being in us. And here, the apostle says, be strong in your spirit that Christ may dwell in your heart. And He just doesn't stay there or be there. He's there by faith. That Christ may dwell in my heart by faith. I am strong in the Lord. Everybody say that. And Christ dwells in my heart by faith. Say it again. I'm strong in the Lord. And Christ dwells in my heart by faith. Say it again. I'm strong in the Lord. And Christ dwells in my heart by faith. You need to be confessing that all the time. I'm strong and Jesus lives inside of me. I'm strong and Jesus lives inside of me. In Joel chapter 3, verse 10, it says, let the weak say, I am strong. We tend to say, I'm weak. I'm tired. I'm weary. I'm worn out. I can't go any further. But God says, let the weak say, I don't know how I'm going to go on today. I don't know if I can make it any further today. I've been dealing with so much stuff all week, all month, all year, for the last 10 years. I am so tired. I am so weak. And from the natural part of us, it's easy to say that. Don't feel condemned if you've been saying that. Don't feel like I'm not a very good Christian if you've been saying that type of thing. But I'd like to encourage you this morning, make your mind up. You're going to change what you're saying. I may feel like I can't go on. I may feel like I can't make it any further, but I'm strong in the Lord. Now, I'm weak, but I'm saying something different than what I feel. I'm saying what I desire. You need to say what you desire, not what you feel. I feel weak. I feel defeated. I feel that the enemy is overwhelming me. But I say, I'm strong. Everybody say, I'm strong in the Lord. And in the power of His might. And Christ dwells in me. Isn't that powerful? That's exactly where God wants us to be. And if we're there, He can take us from where we are to where He wants us to be. You see, we've been anointed by the Spirit of God to do great things. And last Sunday, or was it Sunday before? A precious woman, she's from South Africa, been living in Cornerbrook for a little while. And she got up and said, there's a word from the Lord that she had. And God wanted to say something to the church and encourage the church. I believe I wrote it down, and it should be in my notes here. Easier than me remembering it. And it says this, I am anointed to do great things for God on a level the world is unfamiliar with. For the glory of God. I am anointed to do great things for God on a level the world is not familiar with, all for the glory of God. You see, what you and I do and what we accomplish is not because we're so strong and we're so good and we're so perfect ourselves. It's got to do with who's inside you. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That you be strengthened with might by your Spirit in the inner man. That Christ may dwell in your heart. Now, if you can be strengthened in your spirit and Christ dwells in your heart, listen to the next statement. Because it continues. That you be rooted and grounded in love. Are you rooted today? If the pastor doesn't shake your hand, you're going to stay out of church for 6 weeks? If you sing a song or pray a prayer or put on a new suit, a new dress, and nobody says, oh, you look good today, they don't even notice you, are you going to backslide? You see, the Word says, if you're strengthened, Christ dwells in you. If Christ dwells in you, you become rooted and grounded in His love. Not in somebody else's opinion of you, somebody else's affirmation of your accomplishments, but you become rooted and grounded in Him and in His love. Ask yourself the question today, am I rooted? Am I grounded? Because your strength that comes from God, when you decide to be strong, as the prayer's been prayed for us, allows Christ to dwell in you, and that makes you become rooted in the love of God. I want to be rooted. The psalmist said that we're to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, and our leaves yield fruit all the time, even in old age. Man, you can't stop yielding fruit because you are planted by the river of the Holy Spirit. Are you strong? Is anybody in the house strong? Shout, I'm strong. You don't sound very strong. Everybody shout, I'm strong. I'm not weak, I'm strong. The devil is a liar. If you can believe God and say what God says, God can work with you and develop in you what you desire instead of what you feel. I mean, I've had some days when I've got out of bed on Sunday morning and I thought, God, it's not Sunday. What am I going to do? Pastor Steve, you ever feel like that? You don't have to say a word. But there is something inside of you that you reach in and take a hold of and let it come out of your mouth instead of what you feel, instead of what you see. Because what you see and what you feel can sometimes not be very good. Do you know the other side of the coin is that you can feel like everything is wonderful sometimes, and then all of a sudden all hell breaks loose. So you need to be trusting in something that is totally and completely dependable. And it's the Word of God. When the enemy comes and the adversary comes, if you've stored the Word on the inside, if you put God on the inside, all you've got to do is say, I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might, and thus saith the Lord. This is what God's Word says, Mr. Devil. Circumstance, I know you don't look good, but the Word of God says. What does the Word say? You cannot afford to wait until you get in trouble before you try to find out what God says about your life. When the doctor's given you a diagnosis or a prognosis or whatever the case might be, and it's very negative, yes, it's good to seek God then, but prior to that, you ought to have been seeking God for His blessing in your life, so the Word of God is there, and you can draw from it. You ought not have to go back to the Word and say, what does the Word say about healing? You know what it says. So you begin to say what God said instead of what your circumstance said. Say what God said instead of what the doctor said. Thank God for the doctors. Everybody say, thank God for doctors. But God is the healer. You know, a doctor can operate on you and remove your appendix. He can do a whole bunch of stuff. But unless that miraculous healing takes place, his work won't work. Isn't that true? There still has to be that power that God has put in your body, His temple, that makes your body heal, even though it's been adjusted and changed somewhat by a physical doctor, a medical doctor. Isn't that the truth? So be strong on the inside, in your spirit man, so Christ can dwell on the inside of you. And you being rooted and grounded in love, begin to see something that other people don't see. Don't compare yourself with your brother. Do you know the Spirit of God spoke to me one time, some time ago? I was looking out through the church window. I was praying and just looking out through the church window. And I heard God say on the inside of me, don't compare yourself with people who have succeeded, and don't compare yourself with people who failed. You just look to me. You know, it's very easy to look at people who've been a tremendous success in life and say, I want to be like that. No. I want to be me, and I want to be the me that God created me to be. And don't look at somebody who's failed and say, well, if I can only just be a little better than them. No. Look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. And the potential is on the inside of you today. God's power is on the inside of you. He dwells on the inside of you. You're rooted and grounded in love. And you can go further than other people have gone. Yeah, but I'm just me. God wants to take you where you've never been before. Just like Star Trek. There's a generation that'll understand that. Listen to this. Rooted and grounded in love, that you may be able to comprehend. What does comprehend mean? I mean, pretty basically, it just means understand, doesn't it? That you may be able to comprehend with all saints. He's saying it's available if you want to believe it and go for it. What is the breadth and length and depth and height? And to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge. Now, we've got a tendency, of going back into the old covenant and saying, well, you never know what God's going to do. Well, really, he told us what he's going to do. He's good and his mercy endures forever. Every good and perfect gift comes down from God, the Father of lights, and he's never going to change. He's going to do good. If it's not good, it didn't come from God. That's very simple. I mean, God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And we go back and read what they said in the old covenant when they didn't have the Holy Ghost on the inside. Right now, when the body of Christ is walking like it ought to be walking, God's thoughts ought to be on the inside of you. I don't hear anybody shouting amen, but that's the truth. Do you know the Bible says, and the Apostle Paul, he said, we have the mind of Christ. Think about that. That seems to me to think that I'm supposed to be thinking like God. But you know what? When we begin confessing, God's thoughts are hard in mind, and you know, I can't help but sin. I'm going to sin every day anyway. And most of the church is running around saying, well, you know, we're sinning every day in word, thought, and deed, and we don't even know when we sin. I suppose God knows, but I don't know. We need to be able to comprehend what is the height, the depth, the length, and breadth of the love of God. We need to know the things of God. I'm telling you, I raised 5 children, and when they did wrong, they knew it. They knew it. They knew it clearly because they knew what I thought. They knew what I believed. They knew what I wanted and what their mother wanted. It would be very terrible for me to have taken one of my children, one of the 4 boys or our daughter, and brought that child in the house and put them in the room and say, you're staying there for the whole day. Yeah, but what did I do? Oh, you did something. And they're sitting in the room the whole day, and they don't know what they did. Do you know, in all of our experience of raising 5 kids, there was not one time, listen close to what I'm saying here, there's not one time they were chastised that they did not know why. If Jesus were here with me now and he had a flesh body, he'd be saying, how much more? Wouldn't he? You see, if I as an earthly father can help my kids understand when they go wrong and when they sin, don't you think that God's smart enough to help you see when you sin? So can I just exhort you this morning? Stop running around saying, yeah, well, I think I might have sinned today. Did you? If you didn't, you didn't. Do you know you're not supposed to sin? I'm going home soon, Pastor, but... Do you know the Bible says, these things I write on to you that you sin not? Most people don't want to put the not there. It's almost like, these things I write on to you that you sin every day in thought, word, and deed. And we're all sinners and we're sinning all the time. No, the Bible says we're saints and we're not supposed to sin. But if you sin, isn't that beautiful? Do you know what? I don't know any sin I've done today. Have you sinned today yet, Pastor? See? You almost feel like you're supposed to say, well, I must have. Come on, that's religion right there. We need to put that under our feet and let Jesus reign instead of religion. Yeah, but I must have sinned. Pat, you must have sinned since you got out of bed this morning. Do you know any sin you did? Do you know any sin you did today? So, you know, you guys haven't sinned all day. Isn't that beautiful? That's the way you're supposed to live. I'm here to preach truth. I don't really care if Pastor has me back anymore. I'm here to tell you the truth. The truth... I know he loves the truth. But you know, the truth is, you're not supposed to sin. The other truth is, if you sin. Everybody say, if I sin, I've got an advocate. It's covered, man. That don't mean go out and live loose and foot free. What is it? I don't know those statements. Foot loose and fancy free. Is that how it goes? Some of you know, don't you? You sinners. Foot loose and fancy free. That's what it is. No, we don't need to do that. The Bible says that grace is there. But are we going to sin because grace is all around us? God forbid. So if the encouragement is there that we don't have the sin, God forbid that we sin. Obviously, we can stay out of sin. But if we sin, the power's there. The blood is there. The forgiveness is there. The grace is there. But I'm not going to sin. Everybody, I'm not going to sin. Everybody say that. You almost feel like you're saying something wrong. Say it, don't you? Because We've been trained through the years to think that we're supposed to be sinning. But I'm reading the Word, and the Word is telling me not sin. So I'm gonna start thinking, I'm gonna start walking and believing that I'm not sinning. Now, if I go out of this house here today and I start saying things or doing things that I know are contrary to the Word, you know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna have something on the inside of me that says, you ought not have said that. You ought not have done that. You ought not have looked that way. So what do I do then? I said, Father, I blew it. I don't wait till tomorrow or next week or next month. I said, Father, that's not right. Forgive me. And it's dealt with right away. Isn't that beautiful? So you see, these things are written onto me, and they're written onto you, that we sin not. It don't mean you don't ever sin. It just means you can live your life above sin, so that you're not down in the mud of sin all the time. But when you do sin, you run to the Father instead of collecting up a whole bunch before you go. You get that? I'll wait until maybe a couple of months down the road, and then I'm going to bring all these sins to God. Look, I did all this in the last 2 months. No, no, no. Every day, when you fail, the Holy Ghost will teach you. When you make a mistake, there is a Spirit, the Spirit of the living God on the inside of you that helps you know you've done wrong, and you need to deal with it right away. You've got an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, why am I saying all that? He said, I want you to be strengthened with might by your spirit, by the Spirit of God on the inside, that Christ may dwell in you. Man, if Jesus is really on the inside of me, and even three-year-old kids admit, I believe Jesus lives inside me. And that's why Jesus put a kid on in front of all the people and said, you need to be like this child if you want to enjoy the benefits of the kingdom. Isn't that the truth? So a three-year-old kid can believe that Jesus lives inside them. And if you and I believe that Jesus lives on the inside of us, then he's surely able to help me to not sin. And he's surely able to help me see that if I sin, it's clear. Isn't it wonderful that we don't have to sin? I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint. Do you know the Bible teaches us emphatically? And Paul is saying it over and over and over. We're called to be saints. He's writing to the saints. He's not writing to the sinners. He's writing to the saints. You used to be a sinner. You got saved, and now you're a saint. Everybody say, I'm a saint. I don't feel like one. Come on, you can say that. I don't feel like one, but I believe I'm a saint. I've been washed in the blood, amen? Glory to God forever. I mean, I've been brought into the family of God. I've been strengthened with might by His Spirit on the inner man, and Christ dwells in my heart. By faith, and I've been rooted and grounded in the love of God, and I've been able to see and comprehend the height, the depth, the length, and the breadth of His love, and to know the love of Christ. He's in there. He helps me know when I make a mistake. I don't wait and collect them all up and bring them next week. I stay on top of my experience, and I stay free from sin. Do you know the Bible says that if we have fellowship one with another, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. We're supposed to stay free from sin. And you're supposed to know when you sin. You'll know it. If your child knows when he's going wrong in your house, in God's house, you will know when you're going wrong. And if you don't, you need to get some sensitivity to the Spirit. And maybe your conscience has been seared so much that you just don't know when you're sinning because you've been sinning all your life. I don't know. We can't tell where each other are, but one thing we do know is that God has made a way for us to be free, to be strong. You can't be strong when you're condemned about sin. You can't be strong in the Lord when you feel like you're the worst specimen of Christianity that ever stepped in shoe leather. You can't be strong in the Lord when you're guilty about something you did wrong. You can't be strong in the Lord when you won't even call your brother or your sister and talk on the phone. You can't be strong when you're trying to undermine your brother or your sister in some business deal. You can't be strong when you're gossiping about your brother or your sister. Quit that garbage. Repent of it and be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. You know when you're doing wrong, just stop doing it. Amen? That's pretty simple, isn't it? Quit it. But I can't help it. Well, get saved. You see, saved people love Jesus. I'd rather please you, God, than please this thing here. I'd rather please you than please my peers, my friends, my relatives. I'd rather please you than to please man. Isn't that what Paul said to the Galatians? He said, do I yet seek to please man? The bottom line of all this thing, if you want to be strong in the Lord, he's got to be number one. Isn't that true? He's got to be number one. And when you get out of bed in the morning, I mean, please, don't think like a sinner. Think like a saint. Everybody say it again. I'm a saint. Not an ain't. You take the S off and you're an ain't, right? Most Christians think, I ain't a saint. No, you are a saint. Not because of your goodness, but because of the blood that has washed you and brought you into royalty. You are a brother or a sister of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God accepts you and loves you just like he loves Jesus. Read John 17. He loves you just as much as he loves Jesus. You are pure and spotless. He don't see any sin in you. That's why he wants you to deal with it as soon as it shows up. That's why he wrote the word. He said, I'm writing these things so that you stay out of sin, so that you know what to do, what not to do. Yeah, but sin is so strange. You know, you never know when you're just going to fall into it. Listen, mud is mud. When I get mud on my shoes, I don't have somebody else tell me if I don't see it myself. It's clear. If you fall in a mud puddle and you don't know you did, you just lost your feelings. Or you're blind and you don't feel anything. Sin is mud. It's dirt. It's filth. And when you get in sin, you can feel it. You can see it. You can know it. Get rid of it and live like a saint. And thank God that you don't sin. But if you do, the devil can't get an edge over you. Because if you sin, you're just going to, oh, thank you, Lord, for the blood of Jesus. I blew it, but I know I can come boldly to the throne of grace. And here I am, cleansed again. Listen, when you decide to be strong in Jesus, you want to please him. You love him. You want to do what makes him feel good. Do you know he feels good? Do you know God can feel stuff? Do you know he can be grieved? And he can be made happy? The Bible says he takes pleasure in his saints. I believe when he sees his saints doing the best they can to walk upright and correcting themselves when they fall, I believe it brings pleasure to him. I believe that when we goof off and we don't even care if we're living right unless somebody's looking, it grieves him. And I believe the Spirit of God will tug on us and stir us and draw us and bring us back to where we're supposed to be if we'll listen to him. So you see, when the Apostle Paul said, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, he didn't stop there, did he? We could go and preach on that sixth chapter of the book of Ephesians, and then you can see, put this stuff together from Ephesians 3 and Ephesians chapter 6, and you can see that being strong in the Lord means you put on the armor of God, so when the devil comes and tries to bring you down to where you were before, the armor's there, the shield is there, the sword is there, and you are able to be victorious every time. Every time. It belongs to you. Victory belongs to you. You've been anointed to get the most out of life. God has blessed you so that what other people are doing, you can do it and enjoy it more. The church don't know that. The church thinks we're supposed to give everything up, crawl in a corner somewhere, and wait for Jesus to come. No, he wants us to get out there, love God, love each other, enjoy life, and just go on and just be aware and be clear, understand. That if you sin, it's taken care of, and you can be strong. When you know sin is dealt with, you can be. Do you know, sin is what destroys your strength in God? That's why he took your sin and your sorrow, and he made them his very own, and he bore the burden to Calvary. and suffered and died alone. How marvelous, how wonderful is my Savior's love for me. He gave me a life that I could not have any other way except through the cross, except through the grace of God, except through the blood of Jesus, except through the Word of God. I plan to be strong. I plan that even in my weakest moment, I'm strong in the Lord. In the heaviest and the thickest battle, when it seems like all hell is breaking loose against me and I can't go any further, I plan to be strong because I'm going to say, I am strong. What are the weak supposed to say? I'm strong. You see, the devil wants the church to run around and say, I'm just an old sinner. That's why it feels like you almost choke to say, yeah, I'm a saint of God. Most people think you got to go to India and wipe little kids' noses and feed them for like 30 years before you can be considered a saint. Listen, that is good stuff. Everybody says that's good stuff. But you can give your body to be burned and all your possessions, give it away. And if God is not in the middle of it and the blood of Jesus is not in your life, you accomplish nothing. There ain't nobody that can make you a saint except what happened on Calvary. And when that blood is applied to you, a sinner becomes a saint. And then the grace of God maintains that status. So that as far as heaven is concerned, until you say, I don't want God anymore, I don't want His grace anymore, I don't want His blood anymore, God sees you, heaven sees you, sinless. Just keep yourself close to the well of grace, amen, to the blood of Jesus. When God looked down on the Israelites' tents, when Balaam and Balak were doing their thing, remember that story in Numbers? I mean, the Israelites were the most unstable, wishy-washy bunch you could ever run into. One minute they're worshiping God, next minute they're building an idol. One minute they're back worshiping God, and then they're complaining and murmuring. But he said, I see no iniquity in the tents of Jacob. And you're saying, God, what are you talking about? Those people are full of sin. But a lamb had been slain. Blood of an animal had been spilt. And that blood pointed to the blood of his son. And they believed that they were freed from sin. How much more when you put your faith in, your confidence in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why you can be strong. That's why you can be victorious. That's why the devil can't get the edge over you, because you put confidence in the blood of Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Aren't you glad you know something? He said, you're going to know the length, the depth, the height, and the breadth. You see this thing. Man, when you see it, when the Holy Ghost opens your eyes to see it, you stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. And wonder how He could love you when you were a sinner, condemned, unclean. Then He brought you in, washed you, cleaned you up, and brought you right into His family. He called you His very own. That's enough to shout about for eternity. Be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Rise up and see who you are and live it every day. Be a saint of God who gives glory to God in every situation. And when hell comes to try to wipe you out, destroy you, and take away your health, take away your finance, take away your family, take away your joy, just be strong in the Lord. And declare that the Word of God is working mightily in you and in your circumstances. And bring God's angels and His Word and His Spirit to work in your situation. And watch things begin to change as we change inside what we believe and what we're saying outside. You know what the psalmist said? And I wish I had some time to talk about this a little bit, because I like talking about it. He said, psalmist said in Psalm 91, he said, I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my God, and I trust in him. The psalmist said, I will say of the Lord. You decide what you say every day. I decide what I'm going to say. I will say of the Lord, he's my strength. He's my help. He's my deliverer. He's my healer. He's my provider. He's my guide. He's my baptizer. He's everything I'll ever need. I will say that of the Lord. I am strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And I pray that you be strengthened with might by his Spirit on the inner man, that Christ might dwell in your heart by faith, and that you may know his love. Get rooted and grounded and know his love. And then walk in it. And enjoy a life of total and complete victory. In the middle of every battle, you can smile because you know the outcome of this thing is I'm going to be one left standing. Can anybody say amen? You see, we're more than conquerors through him who loves us. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world. And he dwells in my heart by faith. That's why I am strong in the Lord. Are you strong in the Lord? Are you strong in the Lord? Come on, stand up and say it again. Come on, Pastor. Stand up and say it again. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Say what the psalmist said. I will say of the Lord, he's my refuge. He's my fortress. He's my God. I'll trust in him. That's how you become strong in God. You keep saying that until the cows come home. No, keep saying that until Jesus comes back. Amen. God bless you.
See my Jesus on the cross. The people crying. Looking on, a man would think that's such a tragedy. But what the world could not see is when they nailed him to the tree, he broke the chains of sin and said, that's